Hello, welcome to 21st Century Moses Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, your host.
Do you have a life change experience? If you have gone through some life change experience, probably you might think of when you enter the public school for the first time that you have to meet new people and a new challenge. Or if you were entering into a military service, that could be a life change experience as well. Now, if you are single and you're getting married, or you're going into the professional business world, or when you have a first child, all those things are very, very important time. And then you might have experienced a life change experience each time when you bump into those special occasions. But I think one of the most profound life change experience would be this, that when you have someone that you really dearly loved, but that person is no longer there anymore because of a graduation or a relocation, even through death, that could be life change experience as well. But what is the most important life change experience of whole time? It would be the spiritual transformation, that when you meet Christ Jesus for the first time, that would be your life change experience forever. For me, that was September 2000. I was going through a series of guilty for 2 years, and there's no other way that could free me from guilt and sin. However, when I was reading through the book of Hebrews chapter 10:10, Jesus died once for all. That verse changed my whole life. I experienced the power of the blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross to forgive my sins. That changed the core of the fear and all those things that I had in my mind. So today, I want us to look at Jesus, who changes our life, and how we should respond to him. So let's look at John chapter 2, verses 11 and 22 together. The beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Verse 22, so when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So there are three things I want to draw from this passage. The first one is, Jesus is the recreator. Now, we don't have this kind of word, the recreation, but this is kind of the word that I came up with. And the second one is, Jesus is the resurrection. And the third one is, believe in Jesus. So let's go one by one. The first one is, Jesus is the recreator. So let's look at verse 11. It says, the beginning of his signs. So this was the first sign that Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. And Jesus manifested his glory through this miracle. Now, what kind of miracle was this? So let's look at the context right here. And verses 1 through 10 talks about the very famous miracle of turning water into wine. And then the Bible record, the book of John record, that this was the first sign, first ever miracle that Jesus performed. So Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding ceremony in Cana, and Jesus' mother Mary was there as well. But they had a huge trouble, that they were running out of wine. Now, what's up with wine? I mean, you could have a lot of great wedding feast with a lot of meat and a lot of great food, but what's up with the wine? Well, wine represents joy. And then in that culture 2,000 years ago, in Jewish culture, in the wedding, if the wine is running out of, if they are running out of wine, then that means that they're running out of joy. What on earth the wedding ceremony without joy would be? That would be the most miserable wedding ever. Even if it's just once in a lifetime event, everyone will remember that. And especially that will be a detrimental to the family, especially the young married couple. So that was the huge trouble. And at first, Jesus was hesitant to do the miracle there, but Jesus' mother Mary said to the servants at the wedding ceremony, do whatever Jesus said. So they did whatever Jesus said. There were 6 jars of water, and that was a huge jar. So each jar could take about 20 or 30 gallons of water. Now that water, the jar, I mean, water is very important, right? However, in that case, the water jar was there for the purification. Whenever guests are coming in, whenever people are coming in, they need to wash their hands. So that's just not only for the wedding ceremony, but that's kind of a regular custom. However, even though water is necessary, but water was not that needed at that moment, because what they needed was wine. But we see the great miracle. I mean, these servants were just a human being, and then they did whatever exactly Jesus told them to do. So Jesus told them to bring the water to the head waiter, to the guest. I mean, that could be very, very scary, because what if you bring water to the guest and if it's still water, then they'll be insulting and that will destroy the whole mood of the wedding. So people would not normally do that. However, they just obeyed what Jesus was saying to them, and then Jesus performed a great miracle that this water was not water anymore. The water became wine. And then verse 10, the head waiter of the wedding says, you know, normally people use the best wine at the beginning. And then when people are drunk, then, you know, people don't really feel the taste anymore, so that, you know, they don't care about the poured wine. It's okay. However, you saved the best wine ever. So the first wine was not that, I mean, it was good, but this new wine is way better than the first one. Wow, this is amazing. The head waiter did not know anything what was going on there, and even the other guests did not know, but the servants and disciples of Jesus knew exactly what happened. That was the water, six jars of water, but now six jars of wine, that Jesus turned water into wine. That was the unlikely and impossible situation, but Jesus proved that he is God, that he can create and he can recreate. John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 clearly tells that Jesus is God. He is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Apart from him, nothing came into being. So that Jesus is the source of life, that he is the light, and he is the light, life, according to John chapter 1 verse 4. So we can see that Jesus is the source and he is the creator, but not only him being the creator, he is also recreator, because he did not, I mean, he could just say, hey, let there be wine, right? So he did not have to mess up with water so that he could have water and wine together. However, Jesus chose at that moment to change water into wine instead of creating water out of nothing. So that shows that Jesus is not only creator, but also he is the recreator. He recreated water into wine. He replaced water with wine. So we see that another aspect of Jesus' power there. And what we can see from there is this, that Jesus can change. Jesus can transform not only water into wine, but also the mood in the wedding, because including Jesus' mother Mary and the wedding, the servants and all those people must be in a very, very difficult time during that time, because they knew that they were running out of wine, and then they're going to screw up the whole wedding ceremony. They were in trouble. They were in deep stress, but Jesus changed the stress into joy. He changed the despair into satisfaction. And that is the power of God. That is the power of Jesus, that Jesus can change things that way. Now, what's the second point? The second point was this, that Jesus is not only the creator, but Jesus is also the resurrection. So let's look at today's passage again together. In verse 22, it says, so when Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and then they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So what was going on here after Jesus was resurrected? So of course it shows It talks about that Jesus' literal death for our sins and he was resurrected from the dead. Let me give you some context here. So right after the first miracle in Cana, Jesus went up to Jerusalem with his disciples. But verses 13 through 15 talks about cleansing of the temple, that Jesus saw the temple of God. And the temple of God is the house of prayer. So people were supposed to worship the Lord and they focus on the Lord and they just pray to the Lord. That's what the temple was for. However, there were so many businesses going on because they were just selling the flock and then people buying the flock. And then, you know, of course, those flocks were used for the sacrifice. In other words, the flocks was used for worship. However, they were not really focused on worship. They were more focused on ritualistic obligations. And then they were just doing the business, not loving the Lord, but doing their own business. And Jesus did not like that. Jesus rebuked them and Jesus cleaned them out all. So Jesus wiped them out from the temple. He cleansed the temple. And then the disciples saw that, wow, the zeal for the house of the Lord was great. But also the other Jewish people did not like it. So they came to Jesus and say, what kind of authority are you using to do this? Then Jesus said in verse 19, destroy this temple and I would raise it up in 3 days. How? And then the Jewish leader saying this temple was built for 46 years, but how can you raise it up in 3 days? And then Jesus said, other disciples realized in verse 22 that Jesus meant the temple is his body. And then when Jesus was risen from the dead in 3 days, finally the disciples realized that Jesus meant his bodily resurrection. Okay, so that is kind of a context. But look at the meaning of why Jesus was saying this and meaning here. The temple was already corrupted because people were just paying attention to their own business, not on God himself. So Jesus cleaned them out. However, this time Jesus is saying destroy this temple. He meant death of his body. I mean, why did Jesus die on the cross in the first place? Jesus did not have to die because he is God and he is perfectly holy. So holy God should not die because death is for the sinners. Well, Jesus voluntarily took our sins. So our sins were transmitted to him, transferred to him, and his righteousness became ours. So we see the holy exchange right there. So that's why Jesus died on the cross. So Jesus, the temple was destroyed because he took our sins on his temple, so that the temple must not only be cleansed but also be destroyed. And he did that through his death on the cross. However, Jesus is God. That God raised him from the dead. So Jesus conquered the sin and death at the empty tomb. So we see the gospel power right there, that Jesus could not be bound, or he could not be confined by the death, but he was powerfully raised from the dead. But when the Jewish people were saying that this temple, literal building, was it took 46 years to do that, but Jesus did not have to do it for 46 years. He did it in 3 days, that he rose from the dead and victoriously. So we see another change right there, that Jesus changed the temple, the old temple, to the new temple. The old is gone, just like in the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, that the old, we are new creature, so the old has gone and new has come. The old creature, which was old temple, which was full of abomination and sins and immoralities and businesses, and all those sinful things are all destroyed, cleaned up and destroyed. And then Jesus raised it up as new temple, But this new temple is not a temporary temple. It is the eternal, perpetual temple, so that Jesus endow us with his eternal temple, which is holy. So that's the change that we see, that Jesus changed the water into wine, and also Jesus changed the old temple into new temple that will never be perished, that will never be destroyed. And this temple is the true, genuine temple that you see the people truly worship the Lord in spirit and truth, as in John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. So amazing, amazing transforming power we see in Christ Jesus, that Jesus performed this at the wedding of Cana, but also at the cross and the empty tomb. So what should we do based on this? Well, we need to believe in Christ Jesus. So let's look at today's passage again. Verse 11, his disciples believed in him. And verse 22, it also says, they believed the scripture, the word that Jesus has spoken. So they believed in Jesus. They believed in Jesus. So we see the repetition of believe in him. So what do we see here? Belief in Christ Jesus is the natural reaction to who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the recreator. And a second, Jesus is the resurrection power, so that we need to believe on him. So believe in Jesus Christ. That is the sole purpose of this book of John, and whole Bible. What is the really point of the Bible? It is to lead people to believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, in the first miracle, Jesus changed water into wine. But the disciples saw that, of course, you know, wine is good, and then, you know, good wedding is good, and fun is good, and joy is good. However, you know, wine will be disappeared at some point again anyway. However, the Jesus who performed the miracle is the focal point. So they believed on Jesus, not just the miracle, but they believed on Jesus Christ. So many times the problem is this: when people experience some kind of a miracles or blessings, they are so caught up with what they have. Like, oh, God gave me this car, God gave me this house, and it is just amazing. But instead of just looking at the giver of life and the giver of all these blessings, they just focus on the blessing. That is totally wrong. As we saw in today's passage, the disciples believed on Jesus Christ. That is the point. Okay, and then when they see that Jesus was risen from the dead, yes, resurrection is the gospel message. However, it is important that we believe in Jesus, who was risen from the dead, not just the resurrection itself. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. That is the message. That is the purpose of this book. So how should we live? First of all, we need to know that Jesus is the recreator, and that he is the resurrection. The more we focus on the Lord, the more we know him, the more we will be filled with this knowledge of who Jesus is, that will liberate us from all those falsehood and all the deceptions that Satan brings to us. So we need to be intentional in knowing Jesus continually. Then we need to believe in Christ Jesus. What is the really purpose of religion? What is the really purpose of walking with Christ Jesus? It is not just to receive the blessing from him, but it is really to know who Jesus is through the blessings, through the miracles. The miracle, again, miracle itself is not the purpose. Jesus is the purpose. That everything is from him, everything is through him, everything is for him. So we need to look at, we need to fix our eyes on him, so that we will be amazed by him continually, and then so that we will believe on him. Because we will know more about this, but let me just give you the trailer, that John 3:16, amazing verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, so whoever believe in him. So this is the condition, that you need to believe in him so that you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. In other words, if you don't believe in him, all these blessings that we see in the Bible, that the blessing in heaven will not happen to you. You will perish and you will not have eternal life. So you need to believe on Christ Jesus. And that is the purpose of this message. That is the purpose of the book of John. So let's look at all this thing that Jesus can change. Jesus is the recreator and Jesus is the resurrection. He can change water into wine. So be changed as well. Now, you might think this way, you know, I am a very stubborn person, you know, I am a very miserable person. Nobody can really change me. My parents tried to change me. I even tried to change myself, but nothing really worked. Well, God can change. I mean, think about this, water into wine. How can you change that? Chemically, it's impossible. Scientifically and humanistically, it is impossible. But Jesus showed his mighty power to change that. Not just water into wine, but also the mood and the everything was changed there. So God can change anyone. God can change me. God changed me. I was a person without any hope, but God gave me hope. But that hope is not just a worldly hope, but this is the everlasting hope that will never be disappeared. So that be experience the change that Jesus brings into your life. Jesus can change the water of your life into wine in your life. That wine represents the joy, the true joy that comes from the Lord. He will give you the true joy that only He can give. So experience this joy and then be changed forever. And also, God can change the old temple into the new temple. Our old temple, no matter what religious life we have lived, our old temple is corrupted, is filled with filthiness and all those things, so that it needs to be changed. But some people may say, you know, I can change myself with a moral development, you know, when I read the Bible, when I read more about books, and then when I pray, when I meditate, probably I can become the better person. That's how a lot of people think. That is not true. Maybe you can have some improvement, but the core of your problem is still there. The depravity of your sin is still there, so that you must be changed. How? Jesus. By Jesus. So ask the Lord to change your life, change your heart, so that He can change your old temple into new temple, so that you will experience this resurrection power of Christ Jesus. He is the recreator. He is the resurrection. So believe in Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Father, please recreate us. Change water in our life into wine. And also change our old temple into new temple. Father, we want to see your glory in that. Father, please lead us to more faith in you so that we can truly experience your mighty power for who you are. And then we will not be focused on the blessing, but we will be focused on the giver of a blessing, who is you. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.